With the completion of Malachi's prophecy, the end of Daniel's first week of years, or 49 years, is complete. The 49 years began when Artaxerxes I gave the order to Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and finish the city. Malachi's prophecy finishes all the material to be included in the Old Testament. When both Mordecai and Esther die in the course of time, they were both honored by being buried in a shrine that still exists today in modern-day Iran. Artaxerxes II's rise to the throne in the Persian Empire in the year of Malachi's prophecy sets the stage for the fulfillment of Daniel's encouraging words to Darius. Artaxerxes II is the fourth ruler from Darius, and Artaxerxes sets about to enlarge the Persian Empire, which he is in control of, by attempting to overtake the Grecian areas. In 400 BC, he attacks and defeats Xenophon at Cunaax, causing over 10,000 Greek troops to retreat. It's 339 BC, and over in the other part of the world, Socrates is condemned to death for his heretical teachings. In 387 BC, Artaxerxes II captures the Greek cities in Asia Minor. The next year, in 386 BC, the Spartan ruler Antiochus negotiates a peace treaty with Artaxerxes II, and they force all the other Greek states to agree to it. All of Greece is now under the control of Artaxerxes II, and they do not like it. The unsettling circumstances causes the Greek people to desire a leader from their people who can free them from Persia. In 359 BC, Artaxerxes II dies, and Artaxerxes III takes the throne in Persia. It just so happens that Philip II becomes the king of Macedonia that very same year. Now, Philip II of Macedonia's power increases over the Greek states. And in 355 BC, he has a son whom he names Alexander. In 351 BC, Artaxerxes III attempts to invade Egypt to reclaim it for the Persian Empire, but he fails. Once again, Artaxerxes III invades Egypt, and this time he succeeds, becoming the Pharaoh of Egypt and establishing the 31st dynasty in Egypt. In 338 BC, Artaxerxes III dies, and Darius III becomes the Persian ruler. Now in 336 BC, Philip II, king of Macedonia, dies, and his son Alexander III, also called Alexander the Great, becomes the king. Now 2 years later, in 334 BC, Alexander begins his first campaign against the Persians. That campaign places all of Persia's Asia Minor, now modern-day Turkey, under his control. In 333 BC, Alexander runs Darius III of Persia out of the Syrian area. And from there, Alexander takes over Syria. He destroys Sidon. He destroys Tyre, destroying all the old city of Tyre first, and then seizing the stones of the buildings of the old city, he builds a land bridge over to the island where the new city of Tyre is located, and he destroys it, just as prophesied. Then he marches on down to the Gaza Strip, and he destroys four of the five major cities in that area. In the city of Gaza, he bores holes in the feet of the king of Gaza, and he drags him through the city to fulfill that prophecy. From the Gaza Strip, Alexander attacks Egypt, and he becomes its pharaoh in 332 BC. On his way back to the Euphrates in the Syrian area, he completely passes up Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy that Jerusalem will not be harmed. Alexander is the one-horned goat of Daniel's prophecy, and he hits Darius III, the ram of Daniel's prophecy, very hard. In 331 BC, Alexander defeats Darius III at Arbela, and it is the end of the Persian Empire for all practical purposes. Within the year, Darius III is murdered in 330 BC, and the Persian Empire is securely in Alexander's control. Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue is continuing to be fulfilled. The silver chest and arms has now passed to the belly of bronze. Daniel's dream of the bear with three ribs has now passed to the leopard with four heads. Alexander continues his campaign to the east, capturing eight more people groups and their lands into his empire. In 327 BC, Alexander is determined to cross over the Hindus Kush Mountains to enter the valley of the Indus River and conquer India. But his weary troops refuse to go. Alexander returns to Babylon and makes it his capital. On May the 29th of 323 BC, Alexander attends a function in honor of his admiral, Nearchus. He drinks very heavy at the party, and after that party is over, his friend Medius persuades him to attend another party where he continues to drink wine, but this wine has been diluted with water. He is so drunk that his friends have to carry him home to bed. Now, when he awakes, his fever is very high, and he's contracted malaria from the water. He spends the day and night in the bathhouse trying to cool off, and the next day he spends in his bedroom playing dice. He makes a valiant effort to conduct business, but on June the 6th, he hands his ring to Perdiccas, his senior officer, so the business of the empire can continue. The upper echelon of his organization gathers around him in his bedroom, and one of them asks him, "Who should have the kingdom?" Alexander answers them, "The strongest," he says. His last words then are, "I foresee a great funeral contest over me, and so it will be." Early in the morning of June the 10th, 323 BC, Alexander dies at the age of 32, after reigning just 12 years and 8 months. He had led his troops over 20,000 miles. They prepare him for burial and they take him off to be buried back in Macedonia with his father, but one of his generals captures him in Damascus and carries him back to Babylon, where they bury him there. Alexander's empire then falls into anarchy. After Alexander's death, Philip, his half-brother, takes over control. But Olympias, Alexander's mother, successfully instigates Philip's murder in the 6th year of his reign. Philip's wife is murdered at the same time. Now, Alexander had a mistress, Barcine, who gave him an illegitimate son that they named Hercules. They were also murdered to take them out of the possibility of being heirs to the throne. Now, Alexander had taken Darius III's daughter, Statira, as a wife also, but she is murdered by Roxanne, another of Alexander's wives. A son was born to Alexander after his death. His name is Alexander also. When he is 13 years old, Olympias, Alexander's mother, orders his death as well as his mother, Roxanne. So General Cassander does the deed and kills both. Finally, Alexander's mother, Olympias, is murdered as well as his sister, Cleopatra. Within 15 years, there are no living relatives of Alexander. It fulfills the prophecy. Daniel's vision of the four-horned goat is coming true. During the chaos after Alexander's death, four of his generals rise in power, each fighting against the other. And after many internal wars, the empire begins to divide into four parts, initially headed by satraps. Cassander takes over Macedon, Thessala, and Greece. Lysimachus takes over Thrace, Western Bithynia, Lessophrygia, Mysia, and Lydia. Ptolemy I takes over Egypt, Cyrene, and Cyprus. Seleucus I takes Syria, Babylonia, and Media. Now, Seleucus I's authority does not come easy, even though he is the horn of Daniel's vision that grows longer. Seleucus I is vice-regent of Babylon, but he is driven out of the Babylonian Empire by another one of Alexander's generals, and his name is Antigonus. Now, Seleucus I runs down to Egypt, and he becomes one of Ptolemy I's generals. And in the Battle of Ipsus, Seleucus defeats Antigonus in 301 BC and captures most of Alexander's empire. In fact, he takes Cappadocia, Phrygia, Upper Syria, Mesopotamia, the Euphrates Valley and rules from the Indus Mountains to Hell's Point. For all practical purposes, now Seleucus is in control of the major part of Alexander's kingdom, the larger part, and he's grown larger like the larger horn. Now Ptolemy I is the king of the south, and he is strong, but now his prince, his general, Seleucus I, is now stronger up in the north, just as is prophesied in Daniel's prophecy. The two kingdoms are at relative peace with each other. Ptolemy I has a son, Ptolemy II, that will take his place one day. Seleucus I also has a son to take his place. His name is Antiochus I. In 285 BC, Ptolemy I, due to his health, allows Ptolemy II to begin to co-reign with him in the south. In 283 BC, Ptolemy I dies, and Ptolemy II becomes the sole ruler in the south. Up in the north, Seleucus I is getting older too, but his fate is not the same as Ptolemy I. Seleucus I is assassinated in 281 BC. His son, Antiochus I, takes his throne. He is not as favorable to Egypt, so war breaks out between the north and the south. When Antiochus I dies in 261 BC, his son, Antiochus II, takes the throne and continues to war with Egypt. In an effort to negotiate peace between the two empires, Ptolemy II offers Antiochus II his daughter, Bernice II, as a wife. But Antiochus II will have to divorce his first wife, Laodice, and disown his two children that he has had with her. Antiochus II accepts the deal, and Ptolemy II gives him a great dowry with his daughter Bernice II in 250 BC. Antiochus II sends his first wife back to live in Ephesus, and Bernice II moves to Antioch to be his queen. By 250 BC, Greek is the predominant language of the known world for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews, because the Greeks are controlling all the northern part and the Egyptian part, as well as Asia Minor, Babylon, the Indus, the Medes, the Persian area. So by 250 BC, the entire Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, is translated into Greek. It is called the Septuagint. Now, Jews are still scattered all over the known world as a result of the exile of Israel in 722 BC and of Judah in 586 BC. The Greek translation is a welcomed addition for Greek-speaking Jews throughout the world. In 246 BC, Ptolemy II dies in Egypt, and his son, Ptolemy III, takes over. In that same year in Syria, Antiochus II leaves Bernice II and their infant son to visit Laodice over in Ephesus. Now, Laodice has a plan. She poisons Antiochus II in Ephesus and sends word to have Bernice II and the son murdered. The news goes to Antioch, but it also goes to Egypt. Ptolemy III hears the news, and he rushes to Antioch to save his sister. But he is too late. Bernice and the infant have been murdered. Seleucus II takes the throne in the north after Antiochus II's death. Arriving in Antioch, Ptolemy III takes Seleucus II captive and makes Syria subject to Egypt. In Ephesus, he goes and he kills Laodice, and he moves towards Babylon in rage and revenge for 5 years. Now, he left his wife in charge back in Egypt, and dissension has begun to arise. Word gets to him before he gets to India. He returns to Egypt as quickly as he can. He brings back 4,000 talents of gold, 40,000 talents of silver, 2,500 molten idols, and Egypt's sacred vessels, many of which Shambyses had taken 300 years before when he, as the king of Persia, overran Egypt. He makes no further attacks on Assyria. Seleucus II is left on the throne with a peace treaty that lasts about 10 years. And in 236 BC, the foolish northern king, Seleucus II, attempts to take Egypt. His ships are sunk, his troops are scattered, and he is driven back to Syria, humiliated. In 225 BC, Seleucus II dies, and he is followed by his son, Seleucus III. But he is assassinated in 223 BC. His brother, Antiochus III, takes the throne that year and, as his brother had, attempts to overthrow Egypt, but that has to wait. Their enemies to the west are capturing the land in Asia Minor. The king of Pergama is growing strong. In the south, in 222 BC, Ptolemy III dies and Ptolemy IV ascends to the throne. He is a weak king, and the power of Egypt begins to decline. Antiochus III begins reclaiming the land taken by Berenice II's brother in revenge, and he retakes Tyre and rolls over Palestine, seizing the fortresses north of Caesarea in Dora. Ptolemy IV's ministers negotiate a truce, so Antiochus III stays the winter in the city of Seleucia. But in the spring, he starts his campaign again, taking Phoenicia, Sidon, and eastern Palestine. The next year, in 217 BC, Antiochus III arrives at the fortress of Gaza, which is the fortress of the southern king. It's the boundary set in the prophecy. Ptolemy IV is enraged and he marches to his Egyptian border in Raphia, not far from Gaza. Antiochus III is ready with an infantry of 70,000 and a cavalry of 5,000. But the great army of Antiochus III is defeated by Ptolemy IV in an unexpected victory, although not an unexpected victory to the Lord because he had prophesied it through Daniel. But as foretold, Ptolemy IV fails to follow through. He annexes Palestine, but he fails to annex Syria. He makes peace with Antiochus III instead. But Ptolemy IV does not go straight home. He plans to profane the temple in Jerusalem. He demands entrance into the Holy of Holies, but he is struck to the ground, speechless, before he can enter. He leaves and returns to Egypt, sure that the Jews had used a magic spell on him. And back in Egypt, he kills over 40,000 Jews living there for revenge. Thus, he has cast down myriads, as foretold in the prophecies. In 205 BC, Ptolemy IV dies and his son, Ptolemy V, rules. Ptolemy V is only 4 years old, and the southern kingdom falls into disarray.